This is Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen.
Jan Vermeulen, editor-at-large for mybroadband.co.za. Today we're going to be chatting about what's happening in the world of cryptocurrency trading that may have gone very wrong for South Africans. We saw with the Praesidium case that the main shareholder director of a company, Praesidium, Craig Massane, fought a 417 inquiry liquidation in court. And we're now seeing the same thing happening where Mirror Trading International is fighting to block a liquidation. Jan, welcome to the show.
Hi, it's great to be here. Thank you for the opportunity.
Jan, we haven't spoken for quite a while. And strangely enough, the last time we spoke at the beginning of the year, it was about Mirror Trading International. Tell us what's happened in the last 6 months and why there's this massive fight to try block the liquidation.
Sure thing. The reason we're talking about it today, it's massive coincidence, is because the actual hearing for the final liquidation happened today. There was a big build-up to this with affidavits and counter-affidavits being filed. There were two battle lines drawn, two main camps. On the one side, you had Clinton and Sherry Marks. Clinton Marks is the 50% shareholder of MTI, together with Johann Steinberg, who is allegedly out of the country, fled the country via Brazil back in December. And Clinton and his partner Sherry filed papers. Well, Clinton filed papers, but Sherry gets named in them, and she's the head of communications, which is why her name keeps coming up. But Clinton Marks filed papers to say that he should be allowed to join the liquidation application as an intervening party, and basically wanted to argue against the liquidation, to fight against it, and instead put MTI in business rescue. And obviously the liquidators, the provisionally appointed liquidators, and the clients that they represent were having none of this, and so they fought tooth and nail against Clinton Marks's application. And today the outcome of this was the judge reserving judgment, but from inside the legal team on the liquidator side, from inside their camp, I heard that it's basically a done deal. They convinced that they're going to get the final liquidation order granted. We'll see how it plays out at the end of the day. But that's where we stand at the moment, is that, on the one side, the 50% shareholder and, folks who allegedly extracted quite a sum of money out of MTI, though they dispute that, I should put that out there. They are contesting the liquidation, saying that it is not in the best interests of members, whereas the other side are saying no, the liquidation is absolutely in the best interests of members and needs to go ahead. And it looks like the liquidating side right now has the upper hand, but we'll see when the judge comes back with her ruling.
Let me tell you why I believe these liquidations are so important. When one looks at Praesidium / Imagina and MTI Mirror Trading International, they're exceptionally complex cases. Liquidators have the time to hold a 417 inquiry where they can investigate what led to the collapse of these financial schemes. Whereas if one looks at the massive capacity issues and resource issues that the National Prosecuting Authority have,
right,
that the Hawks have, etc., one tends to think that although, you know, we're programmed to think a liquidation is a bad thing, what people don't seem to realize is that what comes out of a liquidation is that all-important 417 inquiry. And what's very strange is that both Mirror Trading International is trying to block it, and if one looks at Praesidium, which is a very similar case, you have Craig Massane, who actually went to the High Court to try have a subpoena served on him set aside, and he was unsuccessful, but he carries on bringing applications so that he doesn't have to appear before the 417. Jan, why is it so important for these liquidations to take place?
So you've already really covered the salient points here, and we've already seen the liquidators filed like over 1,000 pages of documentation, of transcripts, of testimony, or of interviews, I should say, with folks involved in the scheme. And so you can see that they've already done a tremendous amount of investigating work. And part of the documents that have started to emerge now as a result of the hearing today has shown, you know, that that they have access to a copy of the database as late as October. And, you know, so they've of the MTI database now. And so, you know, this gives them a pretty unprecedented insight into what was going on in the scheme prior to its collapse. Now, obviously there's still a question of what happened between October and December. And I'm hearing that, the liquidators have had good, have been able to make good progress on that. So this is the kind of thing, as you say, that they have time for that the Hawks perhaps don't. And, you know, as we saw with the BTC Global case, the Hawks actually let folks down badly there. These cases just do not get investigated. And if the situation around BTC Global was perhaps better dealt with, then MTI would potentially not have been able to gain the massive traction that it did. But as things stand, MTI grew so big so quickly that Chainalysis pronounced it the biggest cryptocurrency scam of 2020. That is just not an honor that I want as a South African. I would much rather have the fastest athletes in the world and be left off of the biggest scams in the world rankings if it pleases everybody. Thanks very much.
Well, I can tell you this, and this is breaking news because it's the first that's been told on radio today, is the fact that the head of the Gauteng Hawks has taken a personal interest in what's going on with the investigations into all these crypto schemes that collapsed, leaving people out of pocket, not to the tune of millions of rands, but to the tune of billions of rands. And
right.
Some other breaking news I think that's very interesting is that Mr. Jan Vermeulen, because of his expertise, has been asked to chat to a very well-known author who's looking at putting together a book on the issues of cryptocurrency, and in particular, one of the cases we've spoken about today. So, Jan, it seems like what has happened here isn't just going to be a book, but could actually land up being a blockbuster movie.
Yeah, we'll not count our chickens before they've hatched, but this is such a major financial scandal, and together with the fact that cryptocurrencies are so hot right now, I would expect that there would be quite a substantial amount of interest in this from everybody, including, you know, authors and people making films and so on. I have not been approached by anybody trying to make a documentary out of this, but it wouldn't surprise me if ultimately that's where it ends up. Having spoken to people involved in this, having had many backwards and forwards between Sherry Marks and myself and other folks involved in the scheme via email, there's stories behind stories behind stories to tell here. Besides the human cost of the folks who just lost everything, who lost their life savings, there's more to it than that as well. And so, yeah, there's absolutely a lot of story to tell here. We're not even close to having uncovered the whole truth yet. And so, I definitely look forward to the next few months as we continue to cover the case, because there's bound to be a lot more coming out, and especially with the folks involved in MTI, like the Marxes, coming more to the fore, and getting involved in the court case, getting that perspective together on the opposite end of the information we're going to be getting out of the liquidators is going to be incredibly interesting.
It is. Jan Vermeulen, I look forward to continuing our chat offline. There's so much to chat about. And as always, thank you for keeping our listeners updated on the world of tech.
Only a pleasure. Have a great evening further.